Good morning. Just a reminder, please silence your cell phones as we prepare for worship and listen to Diane's music this morning. Thank you, Diane, for showering us with that blessing. Good morning and welcome this second Sunday of Easter. Today, we are of one heart and one mind as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please register your attendance in the sheets that are at the center of your pew, sign your name, pass it down to your neighbor, and if you're new or visiting, if you put your email or phone number so in case we need to get a hold of you, that would make it easy. As listed in the bulletin today, at 3 p.m., our new regional minister for the Central Rocky Mountain region will be installed, Reverend Joan Bell Haynes. This happens at the FCC in Loveland, Colorado. Please pray for Reverend Bell Haynes as she begins her new ministry. Next Sunday at 2 p.m. is the crop walk at the Tate Pump House. Contact Debbie Mestis for further details. Also this Thursday, the 27th, from 5 to 9, there will be a fundraiser for the crop walk at the Chipotle Grill. Be sure to let them know when you place your order that you were there for the crop walk. Thank you to all that have signed up to do the lawn care, but they're still in need of volunteers for September. So if you're interested in helping, please be sure to check out the sign-up sheet. If you purchased a lily, you can take them home today. And be sure and look over the rest of the announcements in the bulletin in case I probably missed something. Do we have any additional announcements? Okay, let's stand and greet those around us, and then we'll sing our opening hymn found on page 215. In a bad place, wasn't it? Good morning. Hello. How are you?
You look lovely. That's listed in your bulletin. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The whole creation rejoices. Birds sing from every tree.
Alleluia, the risen Christ is in our midst.
Babies have a joy. Words cannot express overflowing hearts.
Alleluia, Christ is our light forever. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, out of our need we cry out to you. As we rejoice in the resurrection of our Lord, we also rejoice in your presence among us. Make us one people, united by your love. Hear us now as we say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated. This morning, I'd like to invite the children to come forward for time of sharing before we sing our praise hymn. I'd like to invite the little ones and the big ones too. We're going to learn some motions to a song. Good morning. I'm glad Sarah's coming up to help you guys. So I'm going to teach you the motions, and you're going to teach them to the congregation. So you need to stand up so they can see you. So we're learning a new song today. The choir needs to sing nice and loud on the melody because you all practiced it. And the congregation's going to sing it three times through. So by the time we get to the end, you'll know it if you don't already. The song is, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. So when we start out, we're just lifting our hands up because we're praising God on high. Then we're going to do sign language for the word sing. Hold your left arm out, take your right hand, and swipe back and forth, kind of like you're conducting a choir. So we start, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I want to sing your praises. The next word we're going to do in sign language is life. Make the letter L with both of your hands. Put it down kind of by your gut and bring it up by your heart. It's sort of like sap flowing through a tree. Life is flowing through you. So we start, Lord, I lift your name on high. I want to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. The last word we're learning in sign language is save. I'm so glad you came to save us. Put two fists on top of each other and then pull them apart in opposite directions. Kind of like you have chains on your wrist and they're being broken free. In sign language, this means save or rescue. So the first half of the song you've already got. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. And you all can do the signs too. You don't have to just wait for the kids to do it. The second half of the song has motions. It's not exactly really American Sign Language. So if you ever sign this in front of someone who's deaf, they might look at you like you're weird, but that's okay. So the second half of the song says, you came from heaven to earth. We're just going to point up above and then down below to show the way, point to the right and to the left, like Jesus is showing us the way we're gonna live. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, put your arms in the sign of a cross. My debt to pay, pound your fists on top of each other like you're working. Remember that sign for save? It's kind of like that. My debt to pay, from the cross, make your crossed arms again, to the grave, take two hands and pretend you're holding a shovel and you're digging a hole in the earth. So from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. That's it. Let's have Diane play it, and we'll sing it. By the time we get to the third verse, we'll know it all.
Thank you.
And the people said, amen. Amen. Good job, guys. High five. Good job. On the back of your bulletin, you'll find a list of prayer concerns. As we share these, I encourage you to take a prayer card out of the pew rack in front of you and write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them. Our card shower today is for Bernice Riley. She lives in Cheyenne these days. Her daughter Diane says that she's doing well. Her short-term memory continues to fade, but if anyone is ever passing through Cheyenne and you have time to stop at the care center and visit with her, she would really appreciate the visits. And we can give you details on that in the office. Prayers of sympathy today to the family of Matthew Trott. We have been praying for Matthew for quite some time as he struggled with cancer. He's a local firefighter. His grandmother, Jackie Meeks, is a member of our congregation. Matthew passed away last night after a time in hospice. So please pray for comfort for his wife and for Jackie and for all of the family. We continue to hold Monica Decker in prayer as she has some medication adjustments. Lorna Cook is at Life Care, but we think she might get to go home this week, so that is good news. We rejoice in that. Peg Jackson was hospitalized briefly. She is back home. She had a blocked bile duct. It's being addressed with medication. She's on an antibiotic and seems to be improving. It was a very serious illness immediately, but she got treatment and is home recovering. So prayers for Peg. Kathy Malloy will have back surgery. She goes to the hospital tomorrow morning at 7:30, bright and early. She'll be in the hospital a few days after that and then at Elkhorn for rehab. So prayers for Kathy. Cal Decker has asked for his prayers for his Aunt Lily, who is at Shepherd of the Valley. This is Uncle Paul's wife. We've prayed for Paul before. Lily is in the final stages of Alzheimer's. Her health has declined significantly, and they're anticipating she may just have a matter of days left. Prayers of comfort for them. The missionary we're lifting today is Anil Henry, who serves in India. He helped establish a hospital there many decades ago and continues to serve in medical missionary work. And our ministry prayer partners this week are the staff and volunteers of Wyoming Food Bank of the Rockies. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary. You're encouraged to sign and send greetings to them. And obviously, we want to pray for Reverend Joan Bell Haynes as she's installed this afternoon as our executive regional minister. Are there others today that we want to hold in prayer or joys we want to share? Keith.
For both diagnostic and for some relief. I've been seeing a different doctor, a different surgeon, and he seems to be in my corner this time, so we're hoping that all this gets us going on the right track for healing. So.
Prayers for Chris from the Sandwich Ministry that he can stay on the faithful life path where God is guiding him, and prayers for Keith as tomorrow he'll have an injection in his back, both diagnostic and pain relief. And we are so glad you have a doctor who's finally in your corner. Amber.
My sister, France, her interim position in New York has ended. And so she and her husband are just praying about what to do next.
Prayers for Amber's sister, France, in New York, who has concluded an interim position. Prayers for her and her husband as they decide what to do next. Are there others today? Carmen.
My mom was in the hospital this week. She had an angioplasty and had two stents in the third nerve. She had 90% blockage, so just praying for her healing and continuing forward on the right path with diet and exercise.
Prayers for Carmen's mom dealing with health heart issues. Stan. We are so glad to have both of you back in worship and to know that you continue to improve. Praise God. Jim.
Yeah. More prayers for my brother Dave. He's got Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. I just hope that his next few years are more peaceful than they have been.
Prayers for Jim's brother Dave Oliver, struggling with Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. Prayers that the next few years are peaceful and he does as well as he possibly can. Let us bring all of this now to God in a time of shared silence. Holy Lord Jesus, you came from heaven to earth to show us the way to live, the way to know and embody God's love. Thank you for still being with us, for still being the way. Lord, we pray for those who are in care facilities, for Bernice and Cheyenne, for Lorna in her last days at Life Care. We pray for those who are struggling with health. We think of Monica. We give thanks that Peg is home from the hospital. And we ask you to watch over Kathy as she has back surgery tomorrow. Be with Cal's Aunt Lily. And Carmen's mom, as her body adjusts to heart stents, bless her with a healthy lifestyle and a strong heart. We give thanks, O God, for the gift of healing. We rejoice with Stan and Darlene that they are both doing so much better. We thank you for being with Keith on his long journey of dealing with a back injury. We thank you, God, for finally guiding him to a doctor who is working with him. We pray that tomorrow's injection brings relief from pain and gives good information about the nature of his injury, that fuller healing will come soon. Lord, we pray for Jim's brother, Dave, for his life's journey living with Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. We pray that peace will surround him. And God, we ask you to be with Chris. We thank you that he has come to know you, to have the gift of faith. We pray now, Lord, that his faith will be as strong as ever, that you will guide his life path. Oh God, we pray for comfort for those whose life path on this earth has ended and they have journeyed to be with you in eternity. We thank you for Matthew Trott, for his faithful service as a firefighter, for his love for his family. We thank you, God, that for Matt, suffering has ended. But the end of his life has brought suffering for those who will miss him. And so we pray for comfort and peace for all of his family, for his grandma, Jackie. Thank you, God, for our Christian family, which stretches around the globe. We pray your blessing upon the Henrys and the work they do in India. Be with Reverend Joan Bell Haynes this afternoon as she is installed in a new ministry position, and bless the work she will do in the years to come in the Central Rocky Mountain region. We thank you, God, for your servants at the Wyoming Food Bank of the Rockies, for the work they do to help fight hunger and blessing so many ministries in our community, including our own sandwich ministry. Holy God, for each concern spoken aloud this day, and for those held in our hearts, we give thanks for your listening presence, for your answering our prayers, for blessing and healing, for guiding our lives throughout our journeys. In Jesus' name, amen.
Last Sunday, I'm sure all of us enjoyed a nice meal for the Easter Day celebration. Two of my daughters and I prepared the dinner for the family. It included ham, Kathy Badger's potato casserole recipe, asparagus, deviled eggs, broccoli salad, rolls, and I made a key lime pie and a blueberry pie. That's kind of making me hungry right now, so we'll just move along. Many good meals include good food and drink. While the meal shared at this communion table doesn't seem like much for filling us with a meager piece of bread and a cup of juice, we know that they point us toward a great feast, a feast of life, love, and liberty. By eating this bread and drinking this juice, we commune with God and with each other, and we know that our sins are forgiven, along with the assurance of eternal life. Come and partake. These are God's gifts to us. Please turn to page 222 in your hymnal and sing as we prepare for communion.
Thank you.
break the bread of new creation, drink the wine of resurrection. Here at the Lord's table, all who long to know God's love in Jesus are welcome to share in this feast. We remember when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were at table, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Dear Lord, we come to this table still warmed by Easter and the glory of your resurrection. As we take the bread and the cup, please make us ever mindful of what a privilege this is. Let us never forget your great sacrifice for us. May we go forth with great joy and thankfulness to serve you, our risen Lord. Amen.
I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet, and any time that I don't know what to do, I cast all my cares upon you. Thank you.
We know how richly God has blessed us every day. Birds singing, spring flowers, sunshine, children's smiles, a friend's hug. We can't count or measure the amount of blessings. Our only response is to such endless gifts can be to give something back to God. So now we bring our gifts of time, of talent, of money, knowing they are but a dim reflection of all God gives to us. But as we give, let's do it with joy. The diaconate will receive our offerings. Loving God, we bring our gifts as an act of love, both of you and of our neighbors. Bless these offerings and allow them and us to show others just a little bit more about how much you have loved us. In the name of your risen Son, we pray. Amen.
For the Sunday night, so we are.
Our first reading this morning will be Psalm 16, and in your pew Bible, it's on page 495 if you want to follow along. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble, in whom is all my delight. Those whose choose another god multiply their sorrows. They drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night, also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, my soul rejoices, my body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful ones see the pit. You show me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Our second reading today comes from the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 2. We begin in verse 14, and then we'll hear 22 through 32. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for that beautiful piece. What a moving text for us to hear. Come to Jesus, cry to Jesus, dance with Jesus. Fly to Jesus. Thank you for that message in music. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we come to you now. And we long through the preaching of Peter to hear again of your resurrection and to experience joy at this good news as we come to you. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they are acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Happy Easter. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Oftentimes on the secular calendar, we think of Easter as being one day. Last Sunday, we observed it, the day of celebrating Christ's resurrection. On the liturgical calendar for the church, Easter is actually a season that stretches from the day of celebrating Christ's resurrection all the way to Pentecost. We rejoice in the resurrection of Christ, not just on Easter Sunday when Easter lilies are blooming white and handbells are ringing praises, but throughout this season. We rejoice and celebrate the resurrection of Christ with how we live, how we act. Last Sunday, if you were here, the elder of the morning challenged everyone who was here for Easter to come back. Well, about half of us did. Thank you for being here. Thank you for living out the resurrection, for knowing it's not just about one day and maybe a wonderful ham dinner with key lime pie. I'm a little jealous, Randy Sue. Easter is about every day that we live as Christians, knowing we follow a risen Savior. One of the classic stories of Scripture that is often heard after Easter is the story of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 tells us this wonderful story. But instead of waiting just for Pentecost for that traditional reading, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to explore different parts of that story. If you've been around the church a while, you've heard it before. On Pentecost, there were believers from all the world who had journeyed to Jerusalem to celebrate, to gather, to praise the Lord, to worship at the temple. There in their midst, the apostles were gathered. Those who had known Jesus, who had been present throughout his ministry and his life, who had witnessed his crucifixion, and then who had heard of his resurrection and even seen him. Jesus had told them, "I will send to you the Comforter, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit." And on that day of Pentecost, the Spirit came, and it filled them with such joy and wonder, they could not be silent. For they were bearing witness to the greatest thing God has ever done, to raise Jesus from the grave. It was such an astounding experience. Peter stood and spoke in public, and all those who were gathered heard in different languages his amazing message. This morning, we listened to just part of Peter's preaching. Peter, standing with the 11, those apostles minus Judas who had been with Jesus, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and listen to what I say." His sermon began by quoting the prophet Joel in verse 17 of Acts 2. "In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." What a glorious day that was. Peter quotes not only Joel, but also Psalm 16. This morning we heard the entire psalm read. Traditionally, it's credited to King David, though we don't know if it was actually penned by his hand. Many of the psalms have an inscription that says they are psalms of David. The way it is worded could mean David wrote them, or they were written to, or about, or for David. At any rate, Psalm 16, verse 8, is almost identical to Acts 2, Verse 25. I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. So Peter is saying that David said he saw the Lord at his right hand, right there with him. Peter, who has known Jesus, God's Messiah in the flesh, now knows that the Holy Spirit is present right there with him. And we, as followers of Christ, also bear witness to the resurrection and know that Jesus is with us. Does it make a difference how you live every day if you're aware Jesus is right there? When you're driving your car down the road, Jesus is sitting right there next to you. Does that influence how you interact with other drivers, perhaps when someone cuts you off? Do you say some things that maybe if you remember Jesus is listening, you might not say? Jesus is sitting right there next to you. When you're at a hospital bed or in a nursing home or by a sick bed, holding the hand of a loved one, as you hold their hand, Jesus holds your hand. And it makes all the difference in the world. When you answer God's call to serve in ministry, whether it's teaching a Sunday school class or working on a property project around church, serving at the sandwich ministry or the mission, Jesus is right there with you. Your hands actually become his hands. His hands work through your hands to feed the hungry, to teach children, to care for the world in need. He is at our right hand so that we will not be shaken. Peter goes on, quoting David, "Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced." When Jesus is with us, we get a taste of divine joy that just kind of bubbles up. It's almost crazy sometimes. Even when life is falling apart all around you, you can experience a moment of such peace and wonder that you might not feel happy about what's happening, but you can know joy even in the midst of sorrow. Perhaps there is no better illustration of this than a Christian funeral. People who gather to face their own grief and their mourning and their loss also hold fast to the hope of the resurrection for our loved ones who are called to heaven. Simultaneously, we know joy and sorrow. Even as our tears fall because one we love more than any other has passed from this earth, even then in that moment, we also know joy. For that loved one, if they are a believer, is now with God. What better place could they possibly be? Come to Jesus. Cry to Jesus. Fall on Jesus. Dance with Jesus. There are a few differences between Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11, and Peter's quoting of those verses in the New Testament book of Acts. He intentionally is shifting the understanding of what David has said, or whoever that psalmist was. My heart was glad, my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. If you read just the psalm in its original context, it seems to be speaking of someone who was rescued from a specific time of trial, perhaps even saved from physical death. Peter shifts that notion of salvation to being part of the resurrection, of going through death and knowing that life continues. My flesh will live in hope. All of my life will be informed by following the risen Christ. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, we read in the New Testament. the English translation from the Greek. In the Old Testament Hebrew, it speaks of Sheol. The Hebrew understanding of the cosmos included a deep, dark place of despair, being far from the presence of God. That is what David or the psalmist is saying, I was saved from. Peter is saying, even if Hades is real, even if hell exists, I don't have to go there because I believe in Jesus. You will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. To know the ways of life is to know the way of life. Jesus, whom the Gospel of John tells us is the way, the truth, and the life, the resurrection, the light, the Son of God. If we know the ways of life, Peter says, you, God, will make me full of gladness, of joy with your presence. This morning in chapel, Michelle Elser led for the first time, and she had a delightful meditation in which she included stories of the joy she has being the mother of a toddler. Now, any of you who have experienced that journey, or perhaps right now you're grandparents to a toddler, you know that life can include joy and some struggle and chaos when a little one lives in your home. But it was touching to hear Michelle talk about just her daily routine, that every morning during the week she rises early and helps her family get ready for the day. Before going to work herself, she drops Reese off at daycare where she knows he will be cared for and have a chance to play with other little ones. And then she goes to work. She's there for 8 or 9 hours every day. And then on her way home, she picks up Reese again and heads home and either cooks supper or she and Tyler have something to eat, maybe picked up somewhere else. And she said, every evening it's an adventure. Those hours between when she picks up Reese and he goes to bed. She said, I never know what's going to happen. But just in listening to her tell that story, you had a sense of the joy she has as a young mother. Embraced, as she says, by chubby baby hugs. Reese runs across the room and grabs hold of his mom, and she is so filled with joy and wonder and delight. It doesn't matter what else has happened during the day, in that moment, she is happy. She is blessed. What is it in your life that gives you that moment of joy? Perhaps it's when you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep. You step outside and there's a full moon or stars in the sky and it touches your soul. Or you see a sunrise or a sunset that stirs you. You hear music that touches your heart with a message that no matter what else is happening for that moment, there is joy. All of this is part of knowing the ways of life. We live in a world that tries to give us different messages about how to live. We live in a society that tells us living is about getting and holding tight and having as much as you can have. And yet there is some truth about faith being a journey of letting go, of living in the moment, of embracing even fleeting joy while it is present with you, and knowing present with you also is the risen Christ. The time that we have on this earth is fleeting. Sometimes we're not aware of that. There are days that it feels like this single day could go on forever. And yet, it won't last forever. To truly follow the ways of life, we need to follow the way of life, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Fellow Israelites, Peter said, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us this day. Peter's making the point that even the great King David didn't live forever. He died, he was buried. If you visit the Holy Land today, you can visit the tomb of Abraham. That holy site is still marked. And Jewish and Muslim and Christian pilgrims all visit the same tomb of that ancestor in our faith. Yet Abraham died. He's buried. Going to his tomb is like visiting a cemetery, a place where there's a marker that says someone once lived and they're no longer here. The difference with Jesus is there's no tombstone. There's an empty grave. There's a living presence. There's a breath of life that still comes and touches us. And if we allow him to, will live within and through us. Jesus, God raised up. And of that, all of us are witnesses. Peter spoke specifically of the apostles on Pentecost Day, saying we are all witnesses, yet that same statement is true today. Of every baptized believer who claims the title Christian, we are witnesses to Jesus whom God raised. We are testifiers that death doesn't get the last word, life does. What greater joy than that could there possibly be? Let us live with Easter joy, not just on Sunday when we worship, but every day. May you know this week that Jesus Christ is alive and he is with you. Amen and amen. Our hymn of dedication today is number 218, Thine is the Glory, Risen and Conquering Son. If there's anyone here this morning who's moved to give your heart to Christ, or you're looking for a church home and you want to join us here at First Christian, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing together, number 218. Thank you. There's coffee and refreshments downstairs. I heard a rumor one of our CWF gals made homemade snickerdoodles. If Charles was here, he would want to be at the head of the line, but he is on his way to Loveland to greet Joan on our behalf. I encourage you to stay and visit with one another, enjoy a cup of coffee, and be blessed this week by the presence of Christ with you through the Holy Spirit and through other believers. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you for your resurrection. We marvel at your living presence. And we ask you this week to be at our right hand, to let us be at your right hand, to follow where you lead. Oh God, bless now your people. May your countenance rest upon us, your spirit live within us, and your risen Son lead us forth in hope, peace, and love to live as Christians, people of faith. In Jesus' name, our risen Lord, we pray. Amen.